Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on the award-winning Close Up Radio Live. This is your host, Jim Masters. We're also excited to take you to Denver, Colorado today, sort of virtually on air, with our very special guest, Beth Baker Owens, joining us. She's a renowned realtor, certified life coach, and instructor for other realtors to become more successful as real estate agents, teams, and brokers and owners. She's deeply committed to excellence with a strong presence and influence in her community and beyond. Beth understands the home buying and selling process like few others. First, she asks questions. Then she doesn't say anything. She listens to her clients for what they are really seeking and what they really want to avoid. Next is a savvy real estate professional with an extensive knowledge of the real estate market. She uses her incredible knowledge to help her clients really achieve the best possible results. And she provides expert advice and guidance throughout the entire process. She is her client's heartfelt advocate. Through the life coaching, she helps individuals of all ages who are stuck in the same old patterns, helps them get unstuck, overcome limiting beliefs, and also build a life that genuinely makes them happy. Her coaching ranges from working with real estate clients, selling and buying properties, to helping college students seek out meaningful careers, helping people with career shifts during the most transformative times of their lives is something she does as well. She emphasizes how the American dream of owning our own home, though some may say something different, it really hasn't changed. What has changed is the expectations, the economy, and how we make that dream a reality. This is why, whether you know she is your life coach or your realtor, she meets you where you are and joins you to find your path and create your next life chapter, which a lot of people are doing right now, especially since the last few years of change, great change in our lives. Let's take you to Denver right now for part one of our exclusive Close-Up Radio Spotlight feature live on Realtor Beth Baker Owens joining us here on the program. Beth, welcome to Close-Up Radio Live today. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Well, gracious good day to you, Jim, as well.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I was mentioning, too, we did a Close-Up Radio television shoot there in Denver and Red Rocks, and it's a great spot there. Are you from there originally, or were you brought to the Denver area?
I was born in Santa Fe, New Mexico, so I'm a Westerner through and through. My
Another
dad
great
got
place.
A job. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Very iconic.
Yeah.
But he got a job working out of Denver, and my family relocated to Longmont, which at the time was a little tiny farming town north of Denver. And so I finished out my elementary education there. I've been in Front Range, is what we call it, since 1969. So it's been a good long run in this part of God's country. It is just, it's beautiful. You hear America the Beautiful, where you have purple
yeah.
mountains, majesties, and amber waves
right.
of grain. That was actually penned in Colorado, looking at the mountains and the fields of grain that were on the foothills of off the foothills of what we call the Front Range of Colorado. So it really is a beautiful place to be. And I went to school at the University of Denver, so I've been mostly here for a very long time.
And enjoying every second of it. What inspired you with your life's journey to become a realtor? What is it about real estate that sort of gravitated in your direction and you gravitated in its direction to become such an expert at it?
Well, it was not my first choice. When I was in college, I didn't know what I was going to be when I grew up. I wanted to be a good person, but beyond that, the specifics were pretty vague. And so I ended up with degrees in chemistry and French, looking for work. And my husband said, be a teacher. I thought, well, I could do that. So I did become a teacher and taught for 13 years in the Cherry Creek School, and had always wanted my MBA, my master's in business. Since I was a little teeny tiny girl, I'd sit with my dad on his lap and we would read the Wall Street Journal together. And so I wanted to fulfill that dream. And there I was, three kids under five, working full-time as a teacher, getting gray hairs. And some wrinkles were showing, and I'm going, oh, my gosh, I'll never be able to do what it was that I wanted to do. So I earned my master's in business administration and realized that I wasn't going to be able to pay off my student loans with that little increment I was going to make, and needed to do a career change so I could pay off the student loans. And my husband again said, well, why don't you join me in real estate? I said, oh, dude, that there's no, it's all commissions, so there's no benefits, there's no health insurance, there's no time off, there are months without pay. What are you talking about for a family of five? Well, he was right, as he usually is. And 9 months later, as I graduated with my master's, I joined him in real estate. That was in 1997, and we've been partners ever since.
Wow, that's incredible. And then you've added in life coaching, which is interesting because, you know, being a realtor is kind of like that because, you know, buying a home or townhouse or whatever it is, it's very emotional. It's a huge step in people's lives, whether it's their third or fourth one or their very first one. And, you know, it can get interesting, and there's so many variables. How did the life coaching come in, and did being a realtor sort of inspire the life coaching, or was that something separate that you knew you wanted to do and came naturally for you?
Even yet a third option. What happened was the Betcher Foundation, which is where I'd gotten a college scholarship, decided that they wanted to have trained coaches available for our current scholars and our scholar alumni, so that as they were going through changes and the like, they'd have extra support through coaching support. And I was with a cohort that went through the coactive coaching training, and I enjoyed it so much that I went on ahead and completed the rest of the training on my own to become a certified coach. I realized as I was getting into it that coaching is a much more respectful and powerful way of working with clients than the usual sales approach. And so I went on ahead and embraced the coaching training and applied it to what I do for my bread and butter. And then the work on the side is to help students or to help people through career changes, or, you know, if you've had a heart attack and suddenly you can't do that high-pressure job anymore, you have to totally change your life. How do you do that? Well, life coaching helps with that kind of thing. So the coaching came along as a way to give back to a community that had been so fundamental for me in my early development as a college student, and then ended up becoming something that became a crucial part of how I interact with clients in their real estate transactions. A coach doesn't tell you what to do, right? A coach is not an instructor who says, we do it this way, right? It's not a mentor who says, this is how I've done it and this is how you need to do it. A coach instead says, what is it you'd like to do? What's important to you? And then listen. And ask more questions to understand.
Yes. The listening is so important, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah.
It is. It's been a very good skill to learn.
Yes. And, you know, you combine the two worlds together of the real estate and the life coaching, which I think is really, really fascinating in its own way. tell us about your role as a realtor. Do you specialize in certain kinds of properties? Tell us about that role.
I have resisted being a specialist in one niche over another, and yet I realize that the clients whom I've served sometimes have special needs, and it's important to have the extra skills to better address their needs. So a lot of my continuing education has been to develop understanding and skills in those areas. For example, as a person gets older, there's this sense that my timeline is getting shorter and I don't have the flexibility to make a mistake and recover from it. If I make a real estate mistake, I can't just stay for a little while and then sell the home and move on to the next thing. If I'm moving out of the house where I raised my kids into the next property, I need to maximize what I've got from that investment, and I need to sink it where it is most important for me for my next stage in my lifestyle. And so I earned the SRES, Senior Real Estate Specialist, credentials. I understood that buyers, this is before buyer agency was a thing, it's pretty commonplace now, but before buyer agency was a thing, buyers were not well represented consistently. And so I earned my accredited buyer representative, ABR, credentials so that I would understand better how to understand and better represent buyers. Then I realized that it was important to also work with people who were transitioning from a job here in Denver, somewhere else. Maybe they've been transferred or they've got a new job down in Texas or Chicago or New York or California. That whole transition for relocation, again, is a slightly different kind of real estate transaction. And so I've developed those pieces. I've developed work with probate because people die and their assets need to be liquidated so that the estate can go further or close depending on whether it's a trust or not. So I've done all kinds of learning to address the needs of my clients. You've heard Brian Buffini say, I want a client for life. And my goal, if somebody likes working with me, is to be able to serve them and their family and friends through real estate transactions through death. Mm. And so that means, yeah, I need to be able to address a wide variety of things. I don't have a simple niche or niches, I think is how it's usually pronounced. But it's more a matter of I have the skills to serve you. And almost 30 years in the business has given me time to develop a lot of that.
How do you teach and mentor other real estate professionals? What is that like for you? And tell us about the uniqueness in your approach and the way you do it.
Teaching for me has always been part of what I do. My husband wasn't wrong when he said, gee, you could be a teacher because that's what you do.
Yes.
I often will be teaching and sharing, and I get such a charge out of when the light bulb goes on and people go, I get it. It's like, yes, one for the winning side. This is excellent. And so that's important. For me, if I'm going to provide community service, teaching is one of the best ways to do it because it's a gift God's given me. It's a skill that I've been developing since, gosh, I got out of college the first time. And that means I can take content that seems to be especially appropriate and distill it down in a way that's engaging and meaningful for people. I don't do well with a Zoom class where people are screens off, no voice, no interaction. That's a podcast, right? But
right,
I can do that. but how do I know it's connected with somebody? How do I know where their questions are so they can integrate this important piece of information for themselves in their lives? And so the teaching that's live is so much more important for me. And when I joined Your Castle Real Estate, I started at RE/MAX. And then in 2009, when I joined Your Castle Real Estate, I started teaching. I figured I'd had enough years that I understood the business pretty well. And I've taught all kinds of classes. I've got one coming up in May about how do you negotiate. We've got this huge settlement that's coming up with the National Association of Realtors, and there's everything from fear and trembling to, oh, my God, the sky is falling, to, oh, now we can get our own. I mean, it's just, it's wild out there when you listen to what's going on and what people's reactions are. So I'm going to have a lunch and learn with one of my favorite title companies, and we're going to have a class about what does this change in our negotiations and how can we be better ready, able, and prepared to address the needs of our clients and ourselves as we go forward. Because it doesn't have to be a major change in how you're doing things. It does have to be more negotiation, though. And so we're going to talk about negotiations. It doesn't need to be the Chris Voss where you never split the difference and you're handling hostage negotiations. It's not that crazy, thank goodness, but it is important. So that's an example of here's something timely where agents I know have called and said, Beth, what should we do? How should we handle this? It's like, well, let's get together and share our best thoughts on how to handle things professionally for our clients and for ourselves.
That's so incredibly important. You know, real estate has certainly changed since you took your first leap into it. Tell us about the ways that you've observed that it's changed during the course of your career.
Interesting. When I started in real estate, we still had the books. I don't know if you've ever seen those old relics. They were very thin pages, like a phone book, and they were published every week with where the new listings were. If you had a buyer who wanted to be in Mayfair or wanted to be in Congress Park or whatever, you had to know that neighborhood intimately to know what was showing up, and you had to go through the book. There was no online resource available. When you filled out a contract, it had the new piece was you had NCR paper. So you press hard, there's four copies, and you would take their check and the original to the office. In fact, they had just started scheduling showings through the main real estate office. You didn't have to find the agent to meet the agent to get the key to show the property. So what a change, right? Now we have homes on many platforms. Some of them transfer all the information and some don't, which is frustrating for consumers and agents alike. But you have resources, not just the book. We don't have a book anymore. We have various platforms that the multiple listing service feeds into for people to get information about what's available. We have online contracts so that it's possible to sign a contract electronically. It's possible to close a contract electronically. It's amazing, Jim. It's just amazing. And yet, some things haven't changed. Buyers and sellers still are usually in a transaction with a lot of moving pieces that they haven't dealt with either ever in the last 5 to 13 years. That's a long time. Things change a lot in that time. And so whatever it was that they may have known earlier is different. There's a lot more. You heard caveat emptor, right, which is buyer beware.
Mm-hmm.
We know that. Buyers need to be able to be aware of things. They may not know what kinds of questions to ask or things to be aware of, and that's where the buyer agency, buyer representation is so important. But now, even more importantly, we've got caveat vendor, which is seller beware. If the seller has not properly disclosed things that need to be disclosed, if the seller chooses to do things a certain way that are, nice words, that are make it difficult for their home to sell or for a buyer to see the home, this could pose a real problem for a seller. Even in a seller's market, it's an issue. And so what we have now is a whole situation with buyers and sellers needing to be aware of more pieces. It's not just I'm going to buy a home, here's the money, or I'm going to sell a home, where's my money? It's a little bit more than that. And so super important for people to be sure that they've got representation. You would think with access online to contracts and properties and everybody on YouTube telling you how to do it and what needs to happen, it would be less risky, but definitely a major event emotionally for moving and financially for moving. You want to make as few mistakes as possible. And so working with somebody who does it more frequently is a good idea.
Would you say the American dream of owning a home is still alive? You're hearing so many people saying, oh, no, the American dream is done. The inflation and everything is just priced out of existence, and it'll never go back to pre-pandemic levels and all car prices, food prices, home prices, all of it. But you're in the thick of it, so you know things that we don't know. What do you feel about that?
The American dream of home ownership goes back even further than the 50s and 60s. And so I think it might be beneficial for us to look at it. The frustration that millennials especially have right now is real. They started off their young adulthood getting a degree or two, or at least having classes. So now that they've got student loan debt without really good jobs because there were some economic downturns and struggles there, it's been very hard for the young people to get ahead. And on the same page, their expectations of where they need to start are a lot higher. I need to have granite counters and stainless steel appliances, and I'd like the luxury vinyl plank flooring, and, oh, I need the new iPhone, and I've got a new Prius. Why can't I get ahead? And so there are some conflicting pieces there. So that makes it so frustrating for these folks. And yet a third of the people I work with every year are first-time home buyers. We find ways to get it done. I have a video on YouTube, on my YouTube channel, that's a seminar or a webinar for first-time home buyers. How can you put things together to get it done? I alluded to before the 50s and the 60s. What was it like for my grandparents and my great-grandparents to buy property? It was almost out of reach. Why? Well, because in those days, you had to put down 50% to buy a property. And if you're working a menial job, how are you going to save 50% of the cost of a property? Oh, my gosh, that's incredible. And the loans in those days were such that they were balloon loans. They were like a 5-7 year balloon. So you'd put down 50%, and then you'd have to pay off the rest of the loan or get a new loan when you're just getting settled in the house. And that's when the federal government said, we need to make homeownership attainable by more people. And so we're going to federally insure home loans. And to do that, any loan that is for more than 80% of the value, like our normal FHA loans, our normal conventional loans for people, where you only put 3% down or 3.5% down. Any of those have federal insurance. And so over the years, there's been a very concerted effort to make home ownership more affordable for more people. There was a problem in the 2000s, the early 2000s, that if you fogged a glass and said, I make $1 million, that they would say, great, we'll give you the money. Well, that was stupid. And that created problems. But there are still ways to get homes and to get loans. We're having to go back, though, to some of the things that families did before the 40s. What did they do? They partnered with family. They partnered with friends. They found ways to get land or a property that would pay rent. And it's called a house hack now, as if it's brand new. But you buy a house and you live in the top part and rent out the bottom part. We have all kinds of things that are available in addition to special loan programs. So there are ways of having the American dream come true. We need to look back a little further to what can happen.
What advice would you give to aspiring realtors in this climate at this time?
You're going to have to work hard. You have to work really hard. And this means, this means not just classes.
It gets you all choked up, doesn't it?
Like, yeah, it does. It's serious. This is an easy job to get into and a really hard job to make a career.
Yeah.
You're going to have to find business. You're going to have to set up a business that's sustainable. You're going to have to find a way to really provide value to people ongoing. And so I would say find some folks you can work with and learn from. I do have a tickle.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I was just out to see my grandkids. I think they shared.
Yeah. Yes.
But
it's so important.
The key is,
yeah,
you've got to learn. There's a book called Profit First, and it will help you with doing the budgeting and finances. So take a look at that too.
Exactly. All amazing material. And I want to let the audience know that this is part one of a two-part series. And Beth is all choked up because she's on Close Up Radio Live. So that's what happens when our guests join us. They get so excited and have so much to share. But don't fret, listeners. She will be back for part two, which we look forward to. That will be coming up on Thursday, May 2nd. At noon Eastern, so mark your calendars. If you'd like to learn more, you can go to her website, BethBakerOwens.com. That's BethBakerOwens.com to connect with her about the extraordinary work that she does as a certified life coach, as a realtor, and somebody who really understands people and the human condition. Beth, this was fantastic. Time goes by so incredibly fast, but we look forward to part two and hope you enjoy the time with me as much as I absolutely have with you today. Thanks for sharing your wit and wisdom and all this detail and positivity along the way as well.
Absolutely. Make it a great day, Jim.
You as well, Beth. Thank you very much for being with us. And she'll be back for part two on May 2nd. BethBakerOwens.com website. I'm your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, I'll be back in a few minutes with another great guest here on Close Up Radio Live. Till then, for all of us, have a great day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.